Once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjure Man Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Madam Pamita of MadamPamita.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us today's topic on coin and rootwork. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooist of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-host, Miss Cat and Conjure Man Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, Papa Newt. So nice to hear your voice. Wow, we were working up to the last minute before
That's
the show.
Sure.
That's for sure. That was my little Nagashiva in the corner, our chief engineer and sweating bullets. Grey Wolf Townsend, who has now gone off to a well-deserved afternoon snack, I think.
Good.
Who does the covers for the Lucky Mojo books, the Missionary Independent books, the Yippie books, and he's a wonderful friend of ours and manager at the Sacred Well, which is a store that carries Lucky Mojo products and their own products. Grey Wolf just has spent several hours, many hours, working on this year's Hoodoo Heritage Festival postcard. These are collectible art postcards. Yes, in later years, they will be sold on eBay as collectible art postcards. And I just put the URL for the this year's postcard through in the chat room. We were working, I mean, literally up until the last minute. And if you order products from Lucky Mojo, you will get a free collectible postcard. If you go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com, if you've been there before, hit the refresh button so that you'll see that postcard will come up. That is what we did today. Man, I am so stoked. I really love this. This advertises the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, of course, for 2017, May 13th and 14th at Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, 6632 Covey Road, Forestville, California. And it's a great little art piece and a reminder of some of the great vintage art we use on our labels. Okay. Wow. Well, how are you today, Conjure Man Ali?
I am doing quite well. Thanks for asking. Glad to be back. I missed all of you last week, and I'm happy to be back. Love the postcard. I think it's great. I'm a big fan of that vintage kind of look. I think there's a certain aesthetic to it that pleases me. But I think that could also just be a tourist thing. We tend to like vintage stuff. We really do kind of enjoy this stuff with a little bit of history, a little bit of war into it, a little bit of a story to it, if you will. And the look is something that resonates with us quite well. So great job to Grey Wolf on that fantastic, fantastic postcard. And very much looking forward to hearing all the wonderful updates about the Hoodoo Heritage Festival.
Yeah. And for those listening to this broadcast 5 years from now, if you were to go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com, that picture wouldn't be there. You'd have to go to the 2017 Hoodoo Heritage Festival page. I know I'm always trying to lay these little paths from the future to the past. It's my way. But Every year has a different postcard. So, well, I have a tone on my phone, and I'm sure that some of you can hear it, some of you cannot. Let me get a reading from the chat room. This is the rain tone, the Forestville rainy water gets in the line tone, and it goes away when the rain goes away. Can anybody tell me in the chat room, just type yes or no. Do you hear the tone or not? Someone said, Madam Pamita says, buzzy. That's all we got. Buzzy says, oh, intermittent. Madam Samantha says, no. Alchemical can hear it, but it isn't bad. So I think we're cool. Let's just let it be. If it's not up, Miss Michael cannot hear it. Maybe we're doing an auditory test. If you can hear this tone, And Miss Michael says nice and clear. All right, so the tone is in, it's actually in the lines here that I'm attached to my landline. But we'll just let it go. If anybody complains about the tone, we will change phones. But I happen to like this phone better despite the tone. Okay. Oh, now Shiva says it will be on the recording. Hmm. Well, that's a good question. It will be? You know it will be from experience? All right.
Oh, absolutely.
Then we're going to... All right, then bring me another phone, dear. We'll swap horses in mid-race. Okay? Hey, you know, it's as Professor Porterfield says, it's live radio. I'm so used to this damn tone. It's been going for the 20... some odd years I've been living at this house. It rains, this tone comes on the phone. Never goes away till the sun comes out. All right. Now, we have a guest today, and our guest is Madam Pamita. And we're going to be talking, and it's going to be a great conversation about coins as magic. Now, I'm going to set the scene because I usually do that. But first of all, let's bring in Madam Pamita, one of our best wholesale customers, a lady with a shop of her own, Madam Pamita's Parlor of Wonder, a great tarot reader, a fantastic singer, a gal you all know and love, Miss Madam Pamita.
Hi, oh, my gosh. Thank you. Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you. I'm looking forward to Hoodoo Heritage because I'm going to come up and actually be up for the week before, and then I'll be there singing and doing readings and everything. I'm super looking forward to seeing everybody, and it'll be fun.
All right. Well, now I'm on another phone. Does the tone still remain?
No tone.
No.
But you sound different.
I sound different. You all sound real different. Okay. Well, Madam, this phone is upcutting, and I don't like upcutting any more than I don't like tone. But, you know, we could have a whole Bob and Ray moment here. Madam Samantha says, you sound better on the other phone. Miss Michael says, fainter, very little crackling. Mm-mm. Can we have a vote here? I'm going to vote for the old phone. I like the tone. The upcutting is annoying.
I think the old phone was fine.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going back to the old phone. Here comes the chief engineer galloping on his horse, trying to outrun that train. I hear him coming across the hall. Here he comes. The door burst open. Yes, that one back. He's going to hit it. Yeah, da, da, da. He's going to dial me in on that other phone. Jeez, my geez. All right. Madam Pamita, let's talk until I get my new phone.
Okay.
You're going to be at the festival, as you mm-hmm. often are, and you're going to be performing live divination with song. Is
mm-hmm.
that correct?
Yeah. Yes, euphonious prognostication.
Euphonious.
Old-time medicine, yeah, old-time medicine show stuff.
Yeah. You have a real way about you. That just, I love it. What she does, folks, and y'all have to just come out to see it, she has giant, oversized cards, and the people are called up, they come up and they pick a card, And then mm-hmm. she sings their fortune in a song with a ukulele. Okay, guys, this is for real. And she's dressed 1920s style while she does it.
Yeah.
And she's got on her beautiful clothing. Her magenta hair. I'm telling you, it's a sight not to be missed.
It's a real treat. I totally agree.
Yeah, this is definitely once in a lifetime material to get your fortune read euphoniously by Madame Pomita. Now, we're also going to have this year at the festival another entertainment, because usually we just have Madame Pomita, and that's one day, usually Saturday. But this time we're going to have an entertainment on Sunday, too, and that is going to be John St. Germain, who was at one time in his life, and still is, but he doesn't do it no more. He is famous, but at one time in his life he was a touring stage magician. And he's going to be showing us the mysteries of the mind. And that's something that you're not going to want to miss either. And that is our very own, what I call him, Buddhistic Meditational Crystal Silence Leaguer, showing us his old-time stage act. Wonderful stuff. All right, let's get to our topic, coins and magic. And I want to introduce this with just a little bit of thought. Coins have been used in magic since coins have existed, which goes back to ancient times. Coins have often and usually had on them, you know, the busts of rulers. Sometimes there are deities shown, totemic animals such as the owls of the old Athenian coins. And when we get into some of those figures that are not just mundane politicians, but are either deities or totemic animals, people begin to attach to those coins meaning. And the meaning can derive from that animal. For instance, if you had a coin that had an owl on it, that might stand for wisdom, if that's what you believed owls were about. If you had a coin with an eagle, it might show clarity, the overview, the up-in-the-air overview. It also might be the symbol of your nation's freedom, the eagle flying free. And so those are uses for coins as talismanic objects of meaning. If the coin had words on it, you might identify with those words. And one of the oldest ones, and if you read the Black Folder, a book published by Lucky Mojo, published by Missionary Independent Spiritual Church and distributed by Lucky Mojo, which has a lot of articles from previous Hoodoo Heritage Festivals, there's an article I wrote about the use of the Liberty coin as a talisman that slaves carried while moving north toward liberty, toward freedom. And it has 13 stars on it. There's several different versions of these Liberty coins. There's 13 stars, and usually a hole would be punched to hang it and wear it as a necklace at the center star, which would represent the North Star, because to follow the North Star was to get you to the North and to the states of freedom. So coins have many, many uses. Another coin that's very popular, of course, is the Mercury dime, and we're going to talk about that. Indian head penny with a scout head on it, and so forth. But without further ado, I'm going to bring on Miss Madame Pomita, and she's going to tell us why she brought us this topic, coins and magic.
Well, one of the things that inspired me when I, you know, Nagashiva contacted me and said, do you want to do the show, and what do you want to talk about? And I had just seen an article on a new coin that the Mint is putting out. They're going to be putting out in April a $100 gold coin with a Liberty head on it. Well, big deal, right? So what? Mm-hmm. They're doing that. This coin is absolutely phenomenally groundbreaking, because this one, the Liberty, is a Black woman. We're having our first African-American coin is coming out in April. This is so profoundly amazing. And I was so, when I saw that, it just made me completely ecstatic. What they're doing is every 2 years, they're going to be putting out a new Liberty coin with a different woman of a different race, different nationality. So we're going to have an Asian one, we're going to have a Latino one, we're going to have a Native American one, but our first one is a Black woman. So this magical coin that's coming out had my mind on coins and how coins are used in magic. And so when Nagashiva asked me, I said, I want to talk about coins. This will be so fun. And we can talk about this magical coin, and we can also talk about how to use coins, old coins and modern day coins in voodoo. So,
wow. This is real interesting because we have had Native Americans on coins before, and we have had, the Indian head penny, so-called, the Indian head nickel, so-called, otherwise known as the buffalo nickel. And more recently, in the 90s, we had the Sacagawea dollar coin, and this has a Native American woman with a baby on it. And I have worked extensively with that coin. The first issues of those coins had a back that was just, sort of a standard kind of back. But they have, over the years, changed the back of the Sacagawea coin numerous times. And you can find them with different emblems on the back. I happen to like the one with the corn planting on it because it symbolizes growing money or growing productivity. But the Sacagawea coin is something that I use a lot, and I'd like to just quickly give you all a feel for why I use that coin. Sacagawea is a Native American woman. She was a real woman. She was the leader of the Lewis and Clark expedition, which was an expedition of white men explorers who couldn't get to the West Coast without the help of this lady. And along the way, she was pregnant when she started. They didn't notice. And along the way, she stopped, delivered her baby, and, was back 20 minutes late making their lunch because she had her baby real quick. She even built a little papoose carrier for it, and she carried the baby all the way with her, all the way out to the West Coast, brought them all back home safe. Her, the baby, and all the men explorers got brought back home safe. So I use her to symbolize a single mother, although she actually was not single. She had left her husband behind to take care of their farm while she went on this trip. So she's a woman who has a child who has to work for a living, who can do anything. She's a heroine and a hero. And she is competent in all ways. And so when women tell me they want to get a job, especially if they have taken time off from their careers to have a child, I always recommend the Sacagawea coin. If they have to get a job where they have to arrange for child care, Sacagawea coin, it's a good one for that. And it also does bring in money. It's a golden-colored coin. It's brass. It's a lovely coin. And we sell them to people for how much? A dollar? They cost a dollar? You'd be surprised how many people come to Lucky Mojo and they say, can you just sell me one of those dollars? Well, yeah, but it's a dollar. You could go down to your bank. You could go down to your grocery store. Oh, no, I'd just rather have it from you. So we actually go down to the bank, and we buy $50 worth of Sacagawea coins at a time, and then we sell them for a dollar each, no markup. It's kind of crazy, but that's life. Anyway, that's how I love to use that coin. So let me throw this over to Ali. Give me a coin that you use, like the Mercury dime or something that you like to use in work.
I use a few of them. I definitely, growing up and seeing the different traditions in Virginia and North Carolina, Indian head pennies were quite popular. Mercury dimes, if you could find them, they were a little bit, they're getting difficult to find, but you could still find them in certain stores or vintage places or on, just starting, you could find it online as well. And so I used both of those quite frequently, Indian heads, for protection. There was long traditions of making coins into talismans that you would put around your ankle in order to ensure that you didn't step into any mess or that would keep your feet safe from any mess. And there was old traditions about what would happen if the coin was, if the cord broke, that would be an early sign. If the coin changed color, that would be a sign that someone had actually thrown down messes for you. So there was a lot of traditions about coin, carrying coins, spending coins, doing root work with coins. There's this one really interesting, really unique working that I was given, a conjure by a man in Virginia that I never saw anywhere else. And I'm not sure, it's probably unlikely that it was even widespread as a hoodoo practice or where this man had gotten it from. I didn't actually ask. But it was send a dream with a coin. And what you were supposed to do is take a mercury coin, a mercury diamond, you were supposed to rub olive oil on it and place it under your pillow so that you, and then before you went to bed, you would say the name of the person you wanted to dream about you or contact you or think of you three times and go to bed. And the way he said it is that the mercury diamond was a messenger and would take your message to that person. It was such a unique, this person thing. I had heard about coins for protection. I had heard about coins even in medicinal practices, the shaving of certain coins. But I had never seen even coins as a protection of the home, the Indian said. I had never seen the coin used as a dream working. But I used it, and it worked. And it just goes to show you that there was a long and beautiful tradition of working with coins, some of which were widespread, some of which were very localized, and things were being adopted. This, to me, sounded very European-inspired, perhaps some elements of Congo practice, but it wasn't. Other Virginian conjurers never told me, hey, use a mercury diamond. You can send dreams that way. But this guy, that is what he did with coins.
That's kind of cool. You know, we were talking about coins for protection, and this is so classic, but we don't want to overlook it. Silver has always been used for protection against witches. It has associations with the moon and so forth, and with quicksilver. The mercury dime is actually a young lady. It's actually known as Winged Liberty, and it is a liberty dime, but people call it mercury because the young woman looked a bit like a fairly classical picture of Mercury as a young man, so there's a kind of an androgyny to that image. So people called it the mercury dime because she had the little wings like Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And that dime has been used for protection. A hole drilled in it, hung around the ankle. If you read Newbell Niles Puckett, Folk Beliefs of the Southern Negro, which came out in 1926, featuring photos he took in 1925, there's a picture of somebody's ankle with that little dime on a string around it. If the string breaks, it took the hit for you. Charles Porterfield, Professor Porterfield, told me once, and he's mentioned this before, I think, on the air, that he grew up in Boyd, Texas, and an African-American man who was a friend of the family and also an employee of his grandfather and his grandfather's construction firm, but also functioned as a friend as well. That man gave him a drilled buffalo nickel to wear around his ankle, possibly because at the time that Charles grew up, the mercury dimes were hard to find.
They had
already long gone out of circulation, but the nickel, the buffalo nickel, is sort of it's a nickel silver and it's kind of shiny. So he was given that to wear, and with no explanation, he didn't even know till later that there was this whole history of these coins being used around the ankle. So just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, though, the protection use of coins is probably the most widespread use of them, in addition to ideas of like lucky coins, you know, coins that you fix for gambling or put in mojo bags or keep as a pocket piece. But the protection element is probably one of the most widespread uses of it, and it involves either putting it around the ankle. Another one that I was told is just put it in your shoe. Not put it around your ankle, not put it around your neck, just put it in your shoe, and that will keep you safe from stepping on any mess. And when you take it out at the end of the night, you can see if it's changed any, if it's changed color, and that would let you know someone is throwing for you.
Right. If the silver dime changes color, turns black, it means someone threw for you. And one of the reasons for that is that things like goofer dust usually have sulfur in them, and sulfur turns coins black. Another old one is you put the coin under your tongue and carry it under your tongue. If it turns black, someone is speaking ill of you or throwing for you. These are old, old beliefs. In modern practice, people also will buy what's called a bezel, and this is a little metal frame. It kind of springs open. You put it around the coin. You put it together, and you kind of screw it together, and it will hold the coin. So if you don't want to drill a hole in your coin, you can put it in a bezel. You can go to any coin shop and just say, I want a bezel for a dime. I want a bezel for a penny, and they'll sell it to you. It doesn't cost much, and you can make jewelry out of it with a bezel. So, Madam Pamita, how about you throw us another one?
Well, one of the things that I have become fascinated with is working with modern coins. You know, I love working with the old coins, but, you know, I think there's something beautiful in working with stuff that's available, that's readily available. You don't have to send off for it. You don't have to wait for it to come around. If you look in your coin purse, you look in your wallet right now or your pocket, you've got some magical talismans potentially there to work with. So I just said, okay, well, we're doing this show. I'm going to go into my wallet. I'm going to pull out my coins and see what I've got. So one of the things that I love is the quarters that come out now all have different backs on them. Just like the Sacagawea dollar has different backs. One of the ones I love with the Sacagawea dollar is the Code Talkers one. They have one with code talking on it, and you can that for communication, or you can use that for secretive or stop gossip. I mean, there's a ton of things that you can use that for as a talisman for that. But on the quarters, I said, okay, well, what do I have in my wallet? Now, when you look at the symbols on them, you can either use them as, like, do a reading for yourself. What am I getting? What am I bringing in? Or you can think of these things as talismans that you want to use out in the world, that you can, you know, dress and bless, that you could dress with an oil, for example, and give to someone, sneaky trick, or leave it on someone's doorstep, another sneaky trick. Or you could carry it in a mojo bag and shoe or so on. So the ones that I have, I pulled up a coin for Puerto Rico. I have one for New York. I have one for South Carolina. And I have one for, it's hard to see, New Hampshire. All right. So looking at these, North Carolina, my eyes. North Carolina. North Carolina has a picture of a road going into a tunnel. This is a road opener talisman right there. You've got a talisman with a road on it. You can use as a road opener talisman. So if you need to have something, you want to remove blocks, you want to have a successful venture or something like that, dress this quarter with road opener oil, carry it with you, put it in a special place, wrap it up in a cloth, put it in your pocket, purse, whatever. Put it on your prosperity altar. You've got a talisman that's got that road opener energy on it. The one for New Hampshire has Old Man of the Mountain on it. And it says Old Man of the Mountain. Live free or die, it says. So you've got now a talisman for wisdom. Old Man of the Mountain, right? You have a talisman for safety and security, a mountain, strong, earthy energy. So you can put like master oil on that, or mastery of something. You could put prosperity oil on any of the coins, really, but on this one where you want to have a strong, long-lasting, secure financial foundation and so on. New York has a Liberty on it. You can use it just like you were talking about the Liberty one to open up, you know, to get someone free from a situation where they're possibly going to be in prison, or they are in prison and you want them to come out. We have on the Puerto Rico one, there's an interesting one because we have a parrot on it. A parrot. What would you use a parrot for?
Well,
speaking? Public speaking? What would you use it for?
Yeah, speaking, or people often use parrot feathers to get someone to tell the truth, too.
So I kind of challenge everyone that's listening to this to look in your own coin purse, in your own pocket, and see what's in there. I mean, even the simple penny that we have now, the Lincoln pennies now have on the back a shield on the back. You use it for protection, right?
Right.
So
that's right.
I love that there's a variety there, and I love the variety on like the Sacagawea coins, on the quarters, that you have these automatic talismans that you can dress, bless, put energy into, and then you can do something with them. Like I said, you can put it in your own pocket, use it for yourself, or you can use it on someone else.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
throw in a couple ideas here too, real quick. One of the things she talked about, Pamita just talked about, going in your pocket and see what you got, or going into your wallet and see what you got, your purse. But you can also get a whole set of these state-backed quarter coins and use them for sortilege in the way that you would use rune stones, right? So you put them in a bag, and that's your pull of the day. You pull three. There's your three card cut, your three coin cut. It's a reading, folks. It's like bone casting, right? So that's called sortilege, where you're going to pick out of the sort. And that's a great way to do it. And as I explained in that book I wrote, Throwing the Bones, any form of sortilege to be non-trivial should really have a good number of things, you know, like 25 or 30, 78. You know, these are good numbers. So definitely that that state coin sort would be a non-trivial number, and you'd get some good sortilage if you did a three-card cut on it, or three-card pull, or whatever you want to call it, and make a three-coin pull. That's a fantastic idea. The other thing was that Ollie, earlier on in the chat room, he kind of got ahead here, and I need to go back to what were you mentioning back there? You had something
coins and drink.
Coins and drink, right. So there's an old, thank you, there's an old spell where you take and shave the ridges off a dime with a file.
Mm-hmm.
You tell about it, Ollie.
Oh, yeah, the it was done that you would shave off the dime and you would put it in a drink, usually things like milk, and it was used to remove alive things in you or anyone that had jinxed you by putting something in your food or any type of crossed illness, right, that affected the body, and you would create this drink. Now, some people created the drink as a longevity drink, like as a health tonic that they took every once in a while. I knew a woman that did it. She didn't do it when she was crossed. She just kind of did it as a preventative rather than as a prescription, right? She took it to make sure that no one could jinx her. But you shave off the little ridges off of a dime and you put that into a drink, and it was used as a sort of tonic to uncross anything within the body.
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to do this. One way is you file the ridges off the dime, you simmer it in milk, and drink the milk, and don't drink the silver. And you can, I would ask people, so what do I do with the silver afterwards? Well, you keep it, you could use it about three times before it loses
mm-hmm.
what it's got, and then you just sprinkle the silver out on the ground. The other thing people have said was that you actually drank down that silver. I would not recommend that, but if you wanted to. But the idea that the milk is white, it's silvery colored,
mm-hmm.
It will convey the silver, and the silver goes down through your body in the same way that wearing silver on the outside protects you, this protects you from the inside. Now, Ali talked about this in the past tense. People, they did. Hun, we still do, and I do, and I've done
yeah.
it. And it's a very good way.
Falling out of favor.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's falling out of favor if they come to me for help, because I'll tell them to
yes.
straight up do it.
And thank you for that.
I don't give up easy on a really easy, simple, easy way to work. And as long as there are dimes with those ridges on them, it's called reeding, R-E-E-D-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there are reeded coins, filing those reeds off is good. Even though nowadays it ain't a silver dime, I tell people, go down to the coin shop and buy yourself a real cheap silver dime. Buy one from us. They're not mint condition. You're just going to use them for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another practice that is quite popular is using, you mentioned, for example, Madame Bermuda talked about coins and divination. Coins for lucky numbers was something that we did all the time. If you were playing for lucky numbers, you use a coin to get those lucky numbers. And there
mm-hmm.
were so many different ways of doing it. Every region had kind of their own twist on it. But one of the common ones was you would go to a person who was skilled at finding, you know, lucky numbers. And usually this person, it was something they did, and their town had it. They may not always have been like a root doctor. They may not have prescribed roots, but they could give you lucky numbers. And one way was you would take a silver dime or a mercury dime or a liberty dime, and you would burn a white candle on it, a really small white chime candle, and then you would look at what the wax would result on the coin. So the combination of how the coin, the wax melted on the coin, they would actually find numbers on there. And they're like, okay, these are your lucky numbers. These are the things that you should play. Alternatively, they could do it into mojo bags or place them into pillows to dream lucky numbers. You would then take your dream and interpret it with a dream book to find out which numbers were lucky for you. But coins as divination, and specifically divination for luck and money and gambling, was very, very popular and still is. Lots of people swear by it. They use coins to get those lucky numbers, and then they play those lucky numbers.
Yeah. Madame Pamita says, I think found coins gives loads of divination messages.
Mm.
And Shiva said in the chat, put a coin on a talking board and spin it. Yeah, if you do and it falls on letters, you spin out a message. Madame Pamita, did you just say in the chat room that you're going to give state coin readings at the festival?
Yes, I was going. I don't want to do tarot. I always do tarot. It's something, you know, I want to do something different. I go, that's what I'm going to do. I'll totally do stake coin readings at the festival. That would be amazing.
It would be amazing.
That is really cool.
You're it. You got it.
I'm going to do it.
We'll put that on the festival page right now and announce it. See, the thing is, a good reader can read anything, and this is actually a very good system of reading. And you just proved it to us by just reading the coins that you had in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a real quick spell here. This one comes to us from Aura LaForest from her book Hoodoo Spiritual Baths, and it's also reprinted in Hoodoo Bible Magic. So wonderful spell. Aura is working on a new book we will have out at the festival called Women's Work, and it's about magic that only women can do. But that's another story. This is Aura's coin wash. And I'm just going to read it real quick. Collect a double handful of shiny, brand-new coins in assorted denominations. Prepare a bath tea with equal parts whole cloves, allspice berries, and blue flag root, plus a drop of honey. Strain the tea into a wash basin and wash each coin between your hands as you pray Psalms 23. Let the coins dry on a clean white cloth. When you go out in the streets, distribute the coins to the poor. For, as it says in Deuteronomy 15:7, if there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren with any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. For this good deed, you will be blessed. So this is a wonderful way to distribute lucky coins to the poor and the homeless and anybody, to children, doesn't matter to whom. And again, the herbs are cloves, allspice berries, blue flag root, and honey. Okay? Just had to throw that one.
I love that. That is really good.
Yeah. All right. Can I just throw out one real quick thing?
Another something that a lot of people wash their coins in, Hoyt's Cologne. So I just want to give a shout out to Hoyt's Cologne, which is great. You could wash your coins in it. You can people would wash it to make them lucky, to fix them. People would actually soak their coin in Hoyt's Cologne, and that was because it's considered a lucky scent, a lucky alcohol. So Hoyt's Cologne and coins, very long history, really easy to do, and still very popular.
All right. Wow. Okay. So thank you, Papa Newt. You got to get allspice in there. Thank you, Papa Newt, for posting our URLs. He posted cloves twice. But we'll have that fixed in the chat log when we get there. All right. Hoyt's Cologne is fantastic for use with coins or anything. All right. There's our music. So we're going to go start taking readings now. So let me turn this over to Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Madam Pamita, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you'll be available on the air. We will be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we would like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, pop in you to read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 601 in Mississippi. This is Anthony. Anthony, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Anthony. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome. And I also see you have not had any other readings with Ms. Kat or Contraband Ali or any other readers on this particular situation. Is that correct?
I had a reading with Ms. McHale before.
Oh, Ms. McHale on this situation?
Not on that situation.
Oh, okay. That's all good. Thank you. And Anthony writes, I want to know if I need the Intranquil Spirit spell kit for my wife, or should I move on? Is she really pregnant by me? I filled out job applications and no one called me. Why? Turn it back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, it sounds like you've got some situations going on here, and they do sound difficult. So let me ask you just a couple of questions about what's happening. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Leo.
A Leo. Okay. And you mentioned your wife and the intranquil spirit. How long were the two of you together?
She had been lying to me about moving in with me for a whole year and just constantly lying to me about different stuff. And
all right.
She still
if
never
I understand.
Moved in.
I'm sorry, the phone is breaking up a little. You were together about 1 year?
We were never together. She would visit, but she would never move in. She would lie
oh,
about it.
She would. Okay, let me then. All right, then let me ask this a different way. Sometimes I think I sound like Judge Judy. How long were you two visiting?
You were visiting me like she would sneak and visit me while her mother be gone,
mm-hmm.
not in front of her mother.
And how many years did that go on?
Between 15 and 16, that's it.
All right. Now I understand. Okay. So this was not a long... you all weren't together for 25 years. Now, the next question I have is, how long has she been gone? How long have you been apart?
We ain't been apart. She may be sneaking, visiting me. I can't meet her at a house. I got to meet her at a store.
So I would, okay, I can answer that question without no cards, honey. You don't want the intranquil spirit at all. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Intranquil spirit is to punish people for being bad in love. She's sneaking, and you want her to come out and tell the truth, right? You want to have a more open relationship. Is that correct?
No, I don't know. Should I move on with my life? Do I need to cut and clear?
Oh, well, okay. If you, this, all right. In other words, she's not about... Well, you could have a choice of changing her, but I'm telling you, the intranquil spirit is not that spirit. The intranquil spirit is to make people suffer, and make them wander the world and have no love. She hasn't done nothing that bad to you. That's not what I would use. No way would I go to the Intranquil Spirit or use Intranquility products. What I would do is either one of two things, and I will now read the cards on that. I would either make her to be more forthcoming, make her to stop sneaking, but to say, I wish to marry you, or...
We are already married.
You're already married. Then I would have her to be, I'm out front with this thing. Or I would cut and clear. So let's just ask that question, because the intranquil spirit is not going to change her at this
mm-hmm.
point. This is not right. All right. First card I have on the situation, Nine of Swords. That's
Ooh.
A very bad card. It shows a person waking up in a bed alone, crying, and behind them there are swords. This represents sorrow, trouble, fear, nightmares. Not a good card. If the person
okay.
who sits up in bed alone were to take their hands from away from their eyes and look at their little comforter and quilt, they'd see beautiful roses embroidered all over it and many signs of the zodiac representing new and different people. So, yeah, this is wake up. This situation is a nightmare. Wake up. Number two, card number two, the Nine of Pentacles. This is a woman in a garden. And she has a snail at her feet, and she has a bird in her hand. And the bird is hooded. It's a hawk, a hunting hawk. And the snail is just walking around on the ground. And what we say about this card is you have two choices. A person who is slow to do what you want and may never arrive, that's the snail, or a person who will do your bidding, who will help you and be loyal, but that person is not yet known to you. So again, cut and clear. Set yourself a date, a time, and say, this is not going to happen. We're going on to the next thing. The third card is the Eight of Cups. It shows a person looking at many opportunities, some of them good, some of them bad. One of the opportunities is a person with a veil over them. You can't see if it's a man or a woman, but they're glowing. we always call that the stranger in the cup. That says to me that you should choose someone new. There's someone awaiting you you have not seen yet. Like the hooded hawk, the veiled being is someone you have not yet met. Also, around this, some of the other opportunities do include a job. They say do not join the military. There's a symbol here of a cup with a wreath on it, a laurel leaf or bay leaf wreath. Stands for military victory, but there's a skull on it. So don't join the military. You could be hurt. In fact, even the skull, you could be real bad hurt. But there are other things here that show that you could earn money. That's not the problem. There are people behind you, if there's a snake in one of the cups, who sometimes gossip about you. You want to protect yourself from gossip. There is also a statue of a male man's head with grape leaves all over. You want to protect yourself from overindulgence in drink or drugs. If you drink or drug too much, you will not be able to succeed. But the other cups show this castle. You can end up owning property, gold and silver and coins and jewels. You can end up with money. So be wise in your choices. You have several choices to make. Okay? Now, these cards, you asked another question about, and I'm going to try to touch on that, even though it's a little different. You asked, you sent out applications, and you did not get a response. I'm going to say that this kind of goes to that third card. You may be trying to cast too wide a net. Try to focus on a job with skills and talents that you already have, and one at which somebody you know who will speak well for you may already work at that place. Call in all your friends. There is something here in this card of the many, many choices that says if you throw kind of scattershot, I'm going to apply here and there and everywhere, you might not get it. But if you focus in on one thing, it's more likely to happen. So that has to do with the job. But I'm also going to throw one more card on the situation of the job, okay, because that was a little separate from this woman, okay? So another thing that comes here to the job is a card called the Knight of Cups, and that's my fourth card. I don't usually do fours. Most of my friends know, but this one deserves it. The Knight of Cups shows a man on a horse going forward. He's been through a dry desert, dry times. He comes to a little stream of water. He can refresh himself. He can give the horse a drink. He can put some water in his cup. He cannot get up to the top of the mountain on the side of the cliff there where there's a big old oak tree. You're going to have to do this in stages. Again, this card shows a dozen small trees down by the water. Take it easy. Take it one day at a time, one step at a time, and call on all your friends for help finding you a job, because there will be somebody among your friends, and gradually you will increase your power, strength, and the ability to get a better job. But you have to do it in stages. But refresh yourself, bathe and cleanse yourself, have hope. And this card also always tells me to tell people, be sure you drink plenty of fresh water. All right. Sorry, I ran a little long on that one. Let me throw this over to Madam Pamita.
Hi there, Anthony.
Hello.
So I'm using a different deck, and I'm using a deck called the Sacred Symbols deck, which is done by an amazing reader, Marcella Kroll. She's a wonderful friend of mine. She did this amazing deck that I love to use. So we're going to get some different cards, different things. And when I pulled the three cards, I got cards that I think address the bigger issue of all of this. It addresses the job, addresses the relationship in your life. What can get your life back on track? Because then your life is off of track in relationship, and your life is off of track in your work life. So the first card that I pulled up is a card called Meditate. Now, I think what Kat has said is absolutely right. You need to bring in the focus, spending some time looking within yourself of what you really want. What do you really, really want in terms of relationship? What are the things, the qualities of your perfect woman? Now, for some people, having that relationship where one person lives at one place and you live at another place and you see each other once in a while, that's their dream relationship. Nobody bothering me, nobody fussing over me and all of that, and I get to live my life. But for other people, they want to have a partner, really a partner that they're together in this life side by side and working together. So I think that the first thing in terms of relationship, you need to spend some time reflecting and looking within, not thinking about her in particular, but thinking about what is it that I'm looking for in a wife? What is it that I'm looking for in a partner? And then once you determine that, does she match up to that? If she doesn't match up to it, it's time to let her go and make room for a new relationship to come in. Same thing with a job. Focus on what it is that you want in a job. Not just the money part of it, because the money part of it is fine, but if you're working with a mean boss and backstabbing coworkers and terrible hours and the work is far away and you have to commute a long distance to get there, that's not a good job. So you want to think about the qualities of these particular areas of your life and how what it is that you want to draw in, what it is that you want to invite in. And that is what Kat was talking about when she said that Seven of Cups focus, bringing in that focus. Then take the action. So I think some time of reflection, it doesn't have to be months of reflection, but just taking a day or two to take a time out and focus on yourself and what it is that you want is going to be super helpful here. Then the next thing I would say, the next card that comes up is the butterfly. Beautiful card to show up. This is a new beginning for you, an evolution for you. Because when you determine what it is that you want and the path that you're going to go on, your life isn't going to be haphazard, chancy, see what happens. You're going to have a goal working toward, and you're going to see the manifestation of that goal. So the butterfly changes from a caterpillar into a butterfly. The process of doing that isn't easy. The caterpillar actually liquefies into a soup in that cocoon and then reforms as a butterfly. So it's not saying that this process is going to be easy, but the process of focusing on your higher goals in terms of relationship, your higher goals in terms of work, is going to bring about a result that's more satisfying, a satisfying, loving relationship with a woman who adores you. My God, you're a Leo. You need to be treated like a king with a woman who is crazy about you, not one who is sneaking around and doesn't want anyone to know and all that stuff. None of that anymore. I got to break in here,
Pamita, because in the chat room, we were reminded there was a question about, is she really pregnant? And we did not cover that. And I think we need to get to that question. Is she really pregnant with me? And then the other thing is, if she's pregnant and they're married, why is she sneaking around? There's something screwy here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that when her birthday is? When is her birthday, Anthony?
September the 8th, 1989.
Ah, she's a Virgo. She's a Virgo.
I did not see anything that reminded me of pregnancy. But here's the thing: if she is pregnant, she shouldn't be sneaking around. She should be coming out to be married and happy.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Pamita?
Yeah, I'm getting that too. There may be pregnancy that she may be saying that she's pregnant, or she, you know, there's a possibility that it's not your child. You know, the fact that she, the natural inclination, especially for a Virgo, is to want to have stability and to want to be in a relationship where their man is taking care. My gosh, if I'm pregnant, I need my man taking care of me. I can't take care of me and this baby by myself. I want him taking care of me. I want to be with my man. So there's something fishy. I don't see a pregnancy showing up on any of these cards. So it's either she's not pregnant at all, which may be the case, or that baby isn't your baby, then she's not pregnant with your child. So
yeah.
Last card is the pyramid. Pyramid is exactly what Kat was saying and supports what Kat was saying when she saw the castle, the jewels, the things that we saw in Seven of Cups, which is this idea that you can build greatness for yourself, like a pharaoh. You're a Leo. Of course you can be great. Of course you can have this success in your life. Leos are naturally able to attract that sort of success. So you need to get the focus. I think get rid of the issues that are not working for you and focus on what it is that you do want so that you know, have a goal and a aim instead of just this haphazard stuff happening to you. Does that make sense, Anthony?
Yeah, so what spell kit, what kit I need to get?
I think that's Conjurman Elise going to take that one, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, Conjurman Ali has got some root work to give you, and he pointed out in the chat room that the Seven of Cups, he said, does not normally mean pregnancy, and somebody else said, Shiva said, take a paternity test.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see what Ali has to say.
Thanks, Kat. There's very little time for the root work, so I'm going to speak fast. If you miss anything, it's archived, so listen back. I fully agree with the reading that you got. You're a Leo. Leos are one of what's known as the blessed sign, meaning that in work and in love, they generally are blessed. They can find someone. So you need to move on. You need to find someone that's going to be good for you. So I'm going to give you a working that will help with that. I want you to take a piece of paper and write your prayer on that piece of paper. Write, I want my ideal wife to come to me and be mine. Fully and totally, whatever you want, right? Be very clear in what you're seeking. If you want a partner in life, that's what you want. You don't want any more of this sneaking about. So write that down on the piece of paper. Write this as a letter to God, asking God to send you, or your creator, to send you the perfect person. Fold this up and place this under a heat-proof dish. Take a white candle and inscribe your name, and then put a little cross and say, my ideal life partner or my wife, etc. Anoint this with healing oil and clarity oil. Place this in the center of the heatproof dish, in the heatproof bowl. Around it, sprinkle some violet leaves, rose petals, and Cuban berries. That is to heal your heart, to bring you love, and to bring a woman that is willing. Cuban berries is good for a relationship that nothing is being held back at the moment. Burn this down. Once it's all burned down, add a little bit of Florida water. Light the Florida water on fire. This is to clear away all the negativity, anything that's holding you back or keeping you from a good relationship. Once that's done, clear out the bowl, and then the next day, get yourself a pink candle. Anoint it, inscribe it just like you did the first one. Anoint it with come to me oil, put it in the center of the bowl, sprinkle around in a circle in that bowl again, violet leaves, rose petals, and Cuban berries, and burn that down. When it burns down, add some hot water or a tea that you've made from those same herbs, violet leaves, rose petal, and Cuban berries. Add that tea to the bowl and wash your front door with it. And pour the rest of it out on your front lawn. On the third day, I want you to get a lover's candle or a marriage candle, whichever one you're seeking. Again, inscribe it. This time, anoint it with love me oil and stay with me oil. Place it in the center of a bowl. Sprinkle around in a circle the same mixture that I mentioned. Burn that down. When it burns all the way down, add some olive oil and a few drops of those conditioned oils. Love me and stay with me oil. Take the oil and anoint the four corners of your bed and the center of your bed with it. Pour the rest of the oil out in your backyard. You work in stages to heal, to draw, and then to keep. And you do this over 3 days while the moon is waxing to help remove the negativity of your previous relationship and bring you the relationship that is ideal for you. I know I spoke really fast. Hopefully you'll be able to catch that in the archives.
And I got one question. That third candle is a red one?
It's a red one or a lover's candle that
yes, okay, got it. Okay. You're right. Great. Okay. I said, and you work while the moon is waxing. I took notes.
It's also in the chat. She did take notes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fast typer. Third candle is red or lovers. All right. Woof. All right. Well, I hope Anthony heard all of this. I am concerned because it still doesn't kind of compute to me that they are married, but she won't leave her mother's home. There's something wrong, and it's got to – I would cut and clear just because such a person isn't trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, now, let us go on to our next segment here, and we're going to – take this back to Papa Newt.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forest Hill, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client, and we're going to go straight to the queue to select our next client, who is calling in from area code 225 in Louisiana. 225, are you there?
Hi.
Hello. May we have a name that you would like to be referred to?
Stephanie. I actually posted in the forum, but I think my post has to be approved, so you can't see it, but I put it in there like twice. I did it earlier today, and then
okay.
I did it. Yeah.
I'll go and get that approved later, but if you could briefly give a brief description of your situation for our host.
Okay. Since 2014, I've been dating this guy, and I found out he off and on, and we've lived together off and on, and I found out he was married in September of last year. He never told
Mm-mm.
me. However, every time we were together, they weren't together. They were separated. And then I ended up finding out I was pregnant, and I terminated. The same day I found out he was married, I found out I was pregnant.
Mm.
And I have had a reading before. I had a reading with Miss Ada. I love Miss Ada. I had a reading with her last week. So I talked to her. And then he moved in with me in October, late October. He moved in with me, told me he was going to file for divorce. And on January the 9th, he packed up and left while I was at work. Didn't say anything. So, I haven't talked to him in 2 weeks because, I guess he feels bad for what he's done. But I want him back because I know that they're not, she only wants him when she can't pay her bills. So I just want to know, I love Miss Ada and I'm going to stick with her, but I just want to know what can I do, in the meantime to get him, for us to have contact with one another.
Lord have mercy, honey.
I know.
The Lord have mercy. I'm going to tell you, I know that this reading is supposed to go to Ali, but this is a lady thing, so I'm just going to interrupt you quick. I'm going to tell you something, and no offense intended in any way.
I know.
A man who got you pregnant, you terminated the pregnancy because he had an on-and-off wife, you will never succeed with that. That is a sign from God. You two do not belong together. I say this from my heart. I have had more than one abortion, and I never stayed with any man I had an abortion with. I have talked to many, many women. Madam Pamita, can you give me a witness on this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Before Madam Pamita speaks, let me say this. I have one thing. I really didn't know my equipment still worked. Okay, because I have one child, and for me, it's hard for me because my son has Asperger's. Okay, so and I'm a single parent, so it's hard on me. So it was a joint, you know what I'm saying? It was a joint decision.
I do. I hear you. All right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now that does make more sense. That does,
yes.
In other words, you did not terminate just out of anger, but there was
going
on in your life. You had a child with special needs. I understand. Okay.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Phew. All right. I'm going to turn this over to Ali, and we'll get a man's view on this thing.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I think that was a very important thing that you said there, and I'm happy that you actually stepped in. Let me ask you a couple of real quick questions before I do my reading. First, does he have a child with the other woman, his wife?
Yeah, they have older children because they have been together. They were, I guess, high school sweethearts, but I think they have maybe two kids together, and then she cheated on him, and she has a baby for another man that he raises as his own.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. And what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Virgo.
You're a Virgo.
And
oh, there's a Virgo.
Yes.
A Virgo,
yes,
and a Taurus. Not a bad combination of Virgo and a Taurus. They both like stability. But a Taurus. All right. I'll tell you a male. A Taurus will go home. Okay. The fact that he's raised another man's child as his own, that's a big indication. And I'm telling you this as a Taurus man, that Tauruses will go home. even if it's not perfect, even if he may be better off with you, right? You know, a Virgo and a Taurus is not a bad mix. They both like stability. Yeah. They're both pretty sensual. They're both like similar things. They can really build a good life. They tend to be more friends than lovers, but they can be good lovers as well. But a Taurus will go home, and that's very important to remember, especially if he has kids, especially if he's raised another child as his own. That's just it's in the nature of a Taurus. That's how they are. He'll come back, and he'll think about you, and he'll miss you, and he'll want to be with you, but then something will nag at him that he needs to return, and he will. And that's what I'm seeing here. The very first card that I had is the Empress. The Empress is actually her, all right? And it is a Venusian sign. It is a sign that is associated with Taurus. It's a powerful woman sitting in recline, and she's surrounded by the fecundity of her garden. And she herself is a mother. She's got more influence over him than you do. And you may be right that all she's looking for is stability, or when she needs her bills paid, or she needs someone to step up for, that's when she pays attention to him. But the point is, she's got the power. She's the mother. Yes. She's the Empress. Now, this is a sign where we actually have a shield with a Venus on there, telling me that she has that power over the Taurus, right? There's something about her that she's able to bring him back home by saying, this is your home. These are your kids. This is your family. And that's the key there, is who does he see as his family? And right now, he does see her as a family. Now, he may want you to be his family, but he sees her as his family presently. And that's a big deal.
Yes.
The next card that we have is the Seven of Cups. Now, that's interesting. We had a Virgo in the last reading, and we have a Virgo in this reading. We have the Seven of Cups in the last reading. We have the Seven of Cups in this reading. This is a card of illusion and deceit and not knowing what you truly want. This is a man who's got a lot on his plate, who's looking at all these options, these golden goblets that offer him opportunities. He could be with you. He could try to figure things out with you. But he doesn't really know what he wants, because at the center of all of those cups is a golden goblet with an angelic figure or Christ-like figure that is veiled. He is uncertain of what his true intention is. And when he's uncertain, when he's in that place of instability where everything is up in the air, she is the stability. You are the uncertainty, she is the stability. It may not be a happy relationship, it may not be a perfect relationship, but it's something that is familiar to him. Never underestimate the power of familiarity to a Taurus. Never underestimate that, right? Tauruses love to be loved, and they love to love, but familiarity is very big for them. Comfort is very big for them. And something that they recognize is also going to be very powerful. And the Seven of Cups tells me that your influence over him is not quite there. This is a guy who's got too much going on. This is a guy who sees his opportunities and doesn't go, oh, there's a chance to start something new, but instead becomes overwhelmed with him. And so that he comes to you, but it's fleeting and it disappears. Your relationship with him is much more of a mirage than you realize. It's something that he desires and hopes, and there's a part of him that really likes you and wants you and wants to figure things out, but it's fleeting. It disappears, and then he returns back to what he knows. The final card that we have here is the Knight of Swords. The Knight of Swords is a card that says caution. This is a person who is charging back into the fray. He is going to come back into your life. He will. He's not gone. He hasn't disappeared. He will return. But he will bring with him chaos and trouble. It will bring back more emotions for you, more uncertainty for you. And he may do more damage than good in his return. Not because he's intending to, but because he's putting his emotions first and going, I need to be with her, I need to come back, without realizing that it may not be forever. It may not be a commitment. It may be a return that then ends once more. The Knight of Swords tells me that if you decide to stick with this Taurus man, it is going to be a battle. It is going to be difficult. So really rethink your options here. He may be a good guy. He may be someone you really care about, but the future is deeply, deeply uncertain with him and filled with conflict and strife. That's what I see in my reading. I'm going to turn this over to Madame Benita, who will do your next reading, and then this cat will give you, who also happens to be a Taurus, will give you some root work advice.
Okay. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Miss Benita.
Hi. So here's what I've seen. I'm a Cancer. I'm a water sign, so I'm going to tell you the sweet Cancer version of this, but I'm going to be I'm not sugarcoating it. First card I pull up is water. And Water says that there are real emotions here, that there are, he's not playing you. In the sense that, you know, we think of sometimes, you know, we see these situations where somebody is really crafty or really trying to manipulate a situation. I don't see that with this man. He does have emotions. He does have love feelings for you. He does have that. But like Hanjerman and Lee said, it's not enough to have those emotions. Sometimes we can love somebody, but we can't be with them, you know? And so yeah. In this situation, the second card I pull up is the Shadow, which is absolutely that idea that he is indecisive, that he's going to come and go out of your life, that he's not going to be the consistent man that you need and want that's going to be there. Whether he's coming and going because he's off with his friends or coming and going to his ex-wife or whatever, this man is going to be a shadow in your life. But my concern for you, you know, you're the one that's sitting across the phone line from me. You're the one that is my client. I don't care what happens to him. I care what happens to you. And so my concern for you is that you have a boyfriend who's a ghost of a boyfriend, that you don't have a real man that's there by your side, and that you have this sort of phantom boyfriend who's taking the place of a man who would really be your partner. And that's where my heart really goes out to you, because this is a phantom boyfriend. He's going to come in, he's going to leave, and so on. Now, I think that what as a Virgo, what you need to have is structure. That's ultimately what all earth signs like to have, is some kind of structure. So here's what I'm going to recommend to you on a very practical, earthy level. You do not invite this man back to your home until he shows up with those divorce papers filed. That's it. He's got to have those divorce papers in his hand for you to let him through the door.
Yes.
Until those divorce papers are in his hand, it's a no-go. Because you've got this wishy-washy back and forth, watery in some sense, wishy-washy, watery energy that's going on here. That's what you need to do. And I would give it a time limit, maybe give it a time limit of 3 months, 6 months, whatever you want to give. If he doesn't show up with those papers, done and done. We're going to be done with him. Last card is the cleansing card. Now, cleansing card could be the cleansing of that old energy of his old relationship. I'm going to leave that open-ended. Maybe that's it. But more likely, it's cleansing, getting rid of him, and getting in a man who is a man that will stand by you. You need to have that security of that man that's right by your side. That's absolutely a – Virgo, you need that. You need that.
I do.
So,
I do.
So why are we taking table scraps when we need to be sitting at the table like a queen? That's my question to you.
I know. And it all has to do with my son, because my son is so different. And this is a person that he has chosen to actually interact with. And it's so hard for him to find somebody to interact with, as you know, with him having Asperger's. This person interacts with him. They take him to do things. They, you know, pop fireworks. He spends time, because his biological father's not in the picture at all. Like, no contact. It's all me. And so this is a person who has taken out the time to do all of these things that I want. And it's like I'm kind of settling because of my son, but it hurts him when he turns around and leaves, and that hurts me even worse.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to hurt, but when I look at my son, it's like I just want to fall out, you know?
Yeah. I know, and as a mother, I have kids. I know our kids are, we care so much about our kids and love our kids so much, and we want everything for them. But let me tell you this, and I want you to really take this in. There are 3.5 billion males on this planet, 3.5 billion. Until you have shaken the hand of all 3.5 billion males on this planet, do not tell me that there is another man who will be everything that this man is and everything that he isn't.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Do a love spell that gets a man that's there by your side, that loves you and adores you, and is there for your son and connects with your son, and isn't attached to another woman and coming and going and all this garbage, you know?
Yes, yes.
That's what we need to do. That's
I have to agree with that. It's a real situation here that she just said something that I say all the time, too. Yes, there are 3.5 billion men. Now, I'll go a little farther. Even if you cut off all the old ones and all the babies, there's still at least 1 billion you can choose from. And even if you even if you cut off all of those that are in other continents, okay, and just limit yourself to North America, you got a few million to choose from, several million, and even if you only want, you know, the ones who are single, who are in the United States of America, within a three-hour drive of where you are, you still got 100,000 of them you got to pick from. So be wise and understand you are settling. The guy does have good qualities, and no Taurus is going to be an all bad man. There just aren't too many.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they tend to be.
Yeah.
They tend to, even their worst enemies will say they have some loyalty. They have some command of the situation. But this guy is a, like she said, a phantom boyfriend. So let me tell you what I would like you to do as far as root work goes. I want you to follow anything that Miss Aida says for you to do, and Miss Aida is probably telling you move on. Or try to tie him, one or the other. But I'm going to go with neither tie him nor move on. I'm going to go with make a little place for him in your life and put onto it what you really want from him the most. And you let us know. Your heart is not breaking. I love this man. He's my soulmate. You're saying this man helps me with my son, and do some spell work for him to help you with your son. So get a little candle. You can use a little 4-inch candle, that's for the sun. And you can get a 6-inch candle, that's for him. And you're going to get those, make them be white candles. There's nothing between them except for pure helpfulness and love. And you're going to get some white thread, and you can tie those together. And you can tie yourself to that, too, as a third 6-inch candle. But you're not tying yourself to the man. You're just putting those three candles together in a row. Right. When I say tie, put a little sewing thread around the base and wrap them together, just round and round, and pray on that. Let him be to my son a helper. Let him be to me a friend. If he comes back to me as a husband, we'll take it from where it is. But right now I need him to do this other thing, which is to be a friend. Okay? Put that candle array on a little prayer that you write. Just put down what you want, what you actually want from the man. Now, before you light that, do another one, two pink candles together. That'd be you and your boyfriend quality man. And you can put a little white candle for the child and put those together as a triangle. Instead of a row of three, they're just tied together as a triangle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got two things going on. You got one for this man to be your friend. Now, if he's going to be your boyfriend, he can be your boyfriend, but you're going to put a separate prayer under that. Just to separate your mind is what I'm saying. And that other prayer will be, I want a man who will be my lover, who will be with me and help me with the boy, but what I really want is that is, I want a partner for me and my child in the home. Okay?
Right.
Burn those two sets separately. Observe the wax. Oh, you can dress them, of course. You can dress them with all kinds of oils. I think you know your business, so I don't have to give you every kind of thing. But, for instance, for the three of you in white candles as a row of three, you could put blessing oil. It's a very good one. Tranquility, blessing, clarity. Clarity is always good to add to blessing. For the one for you and the man who is to be your lover, who will help you with your child, of course you're going to put in something like come to me, attraction, love me. Right? Put that on those. Burn those down and observe the way they burn and observe the wax. Tell that to tell that to Miss Aida.
Okay.
Miss Aida, you can even send her a photo of the way the wax burns and she can interpret it.
Okay.
That's what I would do. You're more advanced than some of our callers. You know what I'm saying? You know what you're doing here.
Yes.
Okay. So that's how I would sort this out if it were me.
Okay.
I would. All right. Anybody have anything else to add before our bumper music is on, but I can't hear it because I got the tone phone.
And neither can I.
Well, I think that Mr. Shiva needs to turn that bumper music up. There
Not.
It is.
Okay.
All right. All right. Sorry I ran long. Sorry, Madam Pamita. Let's turn this over to our chief engineer.
Thank you. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo River Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Thank you, Troll Towelhead, Chief Engineer at the LMC Radio Network, for those wonderful announcements. And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Madame Pamita of MadamePamita.com in Los Angeles, California. Take it away, Madame Pamita.
Well, I have got a great prosperity spell for everyone because we're talking about coins. Of course, coins make us think of prosperity. And this is called the Pot of Basil Money Spell. So what you're going to need for this spell is a pot for planting in, a little pot to put on your shelf in the kitchen, you know, out in your window. Preferably a green pot, a yellow pot, or a gold pot. If you want to spray paint it with gold paint, you could do that. And you could put, that is what you're going to put some potting soil in. And you're going to put some basil seeds in that. So you're going to start a basil plant from seed. What you're going to need before you get started with this is three coins that you find on the ground, in the street, by accident, free money, as I like to call it, magic money. You take those three gift coins, those three coins that come as blessings from heaven, and you're going to put that in the pot with the soil, but you're going to put it in a special way. You're going to put it so that it's vertical, so that you're putting it so the side, the edge of the coin sticks up out of the soil, and you can see that little edge of the coin sticking out there. Now, what you're going to do is water that plant, water that basil plant, and as you're watering that plant, you're going to say prayers and blessings that your money grows as this plant grows, that your prosperity grows, your abundance grows as this plant grows. And so as you start to see those sprouts coming up, you're visualizing your money and increasing, your abundance increasing, getting raises, finding money, getting lucky at the casino or the horse track or whatever you do. Now, the great thing is, once you've done that, you've done the spell when you created this beautiful basil plant that's growing your money, but you can do things, additional things with this spell. So, for example, basil is fabulous to cook with. And so you can pick the basil leaves off of this plant and use them in your cooking to bring in more abundance, to internalize that abundance. You can make a tea out of the basil leaves and use that tea. Of course, you could drink it, but you could also use it as a wash. You could sprinkle it around your home. You could wash your money with it. You could wash your hands with it before you go gambling. There's a ton of things that you can do with that wash. Lastly, there's another additional kind of spell work you can do with this fabulous spell, which is to take those coins that you have planted in there and you're going to use them. So as you're going about your life and you find another coin on the sidewalk, a penny, a nickel, dime, quarter, whatever, you're going to take that new coin and replace one of the coins that is in your pot with the new coin. So let's say you found a quarter, you have a penny in your pot, you take out the penny, you put the quarter in. Now you've got a magic coin that you can use in several different ways. You could use that coin to purchase something that you've really been wanting, and you want to consciously use that coin to purchase that thing. You could also place that coin out in the wild, out in the world, for someone else to find and to pass that luck along. Or you can use that coin as part of a donation that you make to people that need money, to someone who is homeless or someone who is struggling financially. You can use that money and pass along your prosperity to other people out there in the world. So this is an amazing spell that not only if you just do the basic spell of just putting those coins in and growing that plant, you're already building your abundance and prosperity, but you can use it so many other ways. That's why I love it, because you can just do so many things with it. So there you go.
Wow. That is so good, and there's so many ways that this spell can be customized, as it were. And this is the mark of a really good spell, because you could tell it one way, it would be one thing. You could tell it another way, it would be another. And In the chat room, Lina Albert says, should we wait until we have the found coins before we plant the seeds? Yes. You have to find 3 coins before you buy those seeds and plant them, because basil seeds don't last forever in a packet. Now, let me ask something about this, because I know that there's always someone who asks, if you find coins face up or face down, does it make a difference to you, Madam Pamita?
To me, it doesn't make a difference, but I know that for some people it does, and they want to see it face up. If it's face up, they'll pick it up. If it's face down, they leave it there. They turn it over, they leave it there, leave it for someone else to find.
Yeah, I was taught when I was young in my Jewish family, we just pick up any coin. There are no face up, face down. Most Jews are so short-sighted and can't see the sidewalk anyway. We barely can see the darn thing. We'll pick it up. But I had a lot of friends who were Anglo-Irish, Scots-Irish, and just straight-up Irish, and they always told me, no, no, the coin must be head up or it's not a lucky coin. So I said, what do you do with it? Well, some said, oh, you just walk on. And some said, oh, well, if you want to be nice, you turn it over so the next person will find it heads up, and they can have the luck of it, but you didn't get the luck. So, again, depends on what culture you come from, what you believe. I don't endorse one or the other.
I love this particular spell, I just got to say. In particular, I love the fact that you're using basil, because basil is also a blessing. It's not just a blessing herb, but it's also a protective herb. So it'll keep your money safe or keep your home safe, right? The old saying is, wherever there's basil, evil cannot enter, right?
That's
it.
Right.
I love the fact. But also, you know, I love working with living plants as magic. It's beautiful work. It's dynamic work. It's work that is ongoing and very powerful. And I find that they're also really useful for divination, right? It's a little bit of green magic, if you will. If you start to see your basil plant wilting, or you start to see something happening, that gives you a heads up that something is going on spiritually that may affect your money. So be conscious of this. Plant magic is very conscious. It's not passive, right? You're actively working. You're praying over it. You're giving it water. You're nurturing it. And you're also looking for signs. You're looking at the plant. You're communicating with the spirit of that plant.
Mm-hmm. I've done the thing where the basil starts flower, and you're supposed to trim off that flower to keep your basil growing and leafy and all of that. So I'll trim off the flowers, and instead of throwing them away, I pin them to my, you know, blouse, or I put them in my, you know, a hair clip in my hair. I wear them. I want to have that beautiful energy, you know, that prosperity all around me. So that's another good thing to do with that basil plant.
That's right. Kevin Baird mentioned something in the chat room. He said, I heard that if it is from Gaia and you don't pick up the coin, she says, how can I give you $1 million when you won't even take a penny? I heard that said, too, also by my Scots-Irish, Irish, and Anglo-Irish friends, that you have to either turn it over or you have to pick it up, but you cannot not acknowledge it. If you don't acknowledge it, bad luck to you, because you didn't acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful spell, and there are so many ways to work this. Dried basil can also be used as a floor sweep. Sweep it in, sprinkle it on the floor in the kitchen, and sweep it out, because, as they say, evil cannot be where basil has been. And so that cleans your house, too. All right. Wow. What a lot of work with coins. This has been some show. Interesting that our clients had very similar situations from both ends of it.
Very.
We had Virgos, and we had the same cards for two of them. Man, sometimes these messages just come down, and you just got to roll with them. So, speaking of messages, we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to give us our closing message, and then we're all going to come back and say goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Countryman Ali, and thank you, Madam Pamita of MadamPamita.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootwork will be our newest member, Poe Meadows of CoeMeadows.com in Auburn, Alabama, bringing us the topic of manifesting true love. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Thank you, Madam Pamita. And we will be seeing you at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival May 13th and 14th.
I'll be flipping coins.
It's going to be great. Thank you, Conjurman Ali, for being my co-host. You will not be at the festival, sob, sob. But thank you for being with us on the show.
I am definitely missing out, and I'm always happy to be here.
Yeah, well, we love having you here. All right, folks, if you have not yet bought your tickets, remember that early bird special price will not last forever. So go and get your tickets now at HoodooHeritageFestival.com. For $300, you're going to get $100 back in goodies and $200 worth of fabulous workshops and food. All right, folks, good night.
Good night.
Good night.